You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 11. As I preach this to you in tongues, amen, I hope y'all can interpret. Hebrews chapter 11. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, I appreciate Brother Michael. He's my, if I've got anybody over me, it's going to be him, spiritually speaking. And he led me to the Lord in 80, something like that. I totally submit to him and all spiritual matters and things and take great weight and gravity of whatever he would say to me because I've watched him over all the years. They've always called us prosperity preachers. I mean, I guess they do. They call us a lot of things. Can I have an amen? I'm not sure what they're calling us right now, but I'm going to tell you this. I don't know of a man that's lived a holier life, you know. Nobody ever talked about Michael as a man preaching holiness, but he was the holiest living guy I knew. Really, I'm telling you the truth. This man don't dip, he don't chew, he don't cuss. I'm telling you the truth. I never heard the man, since he got saved, I did know him before that. I never heard the man say a cuss word in the whole time we've been saved. He was saved, I guess, in 76. Amen. I knew Charity when she was just this long. Do it again. I've known her a long time. Michael and I, we've been down the road a little bit by now. Amen. I'm telling you, we have. So I know the family. I'm behind the family. And I just hope he doesn't have a better friend than me. I hope he doesn't. Hebrews chapter 11. And the Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at that word evidence for a minute. That's the word video. You see that? V-I-D-E, that's from the word video. So then the Bible says right here then that hope is the video of things not seen. What does that mean? Well, that means God's going to give you a video. He's going to push the button and give you a video and a revelation on the inside of you. You might not see it out here, but hey, y'all, we walk by faith. Who cares what's going on out here? All I care about is what's going on the inside of me. And if God shows me a revelation and a video, can I have an amen? Peace will be there. Faith will be there. Jesus will be there. Everything you need will be there. It's going to be in the revelation. When God brought the Noah and the ark, he played that tape of the flood, that video in here. He played it to know that would motivate you too. It was better than Hollywood. It was more real. By the time Noah got through seeing all those people drowning, brother, he was plenty motivated to build that ark. Can I have an amen? Why? Because he had seen the show. He had seen the video that the Holy Spirit had shown. That put faith in him, brother. And he acted on what he saw in his heart. That's what this is all about. That's what all of this is all about. That the Spirit of God speaks to Mo, speaks to me, and I do whatever he says, no matter what it looks like out here, brother, because we walk by faith. Amen. And don't say it's my faith, because I've seen the video. Yeah. I've seen the video on the inside of me. I might not have seen all the doubt and unbelief junk on the outside, but I don't want to see it much anyway. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the video of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. They got a revelation too. They acted on it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, meaning, y'all, everything has to have a frame. Everything has to have a frame. This building's got a frame. Your house has got a frame. Your body's got a skeletal frame. That door's got a frame. That chair's got a frame. Everything has to have a frame. Why do you think that the marriages are going like they're going? Why do you think that 30%, 40%, 70% of children are born out of wedlock? Evidently, there's no marriage framework. Amen? What kind of a framework is that produces that? Well, then a marriage is supposed to have a framework because even the chassis of a car is going to have a framework to put your axles on. So every marriage would have a framework, and they've thrown away the framework. When you raise a child, did you raise him within the framework of that word? I know you've made mistakes. So have I. So have I. Believe me, you're not any worse off than the guy that's talking to you. I guarantee you that. Have you done your best to raise your kids in a framework? Word, word, word. And you step into that context. And you frame that child and you frame that marriage and you frame that church the way they do. Yeah, you got some pretty babies. You do too. And you frame those babies according to the Word of God, because everything has to have a framework, including your mouth. Can I have an amen? What kind of a framework have you got right here? Do you frame your words? Is everything you say framed in reference to and predicated on a framework of the Word of God that you live, that box of the Word that you're in? That framework that you're in? Or have you framed it with something else? He goes on to say right here, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Psychological world, your thought life should be framed by the Word. Your physical life, I'm going to tell you this. Now, I don't know anybody, so don't anybody take anything personal. Ha, ha, ha. That makes me free to give and you free to receive. I may just work you over this morning, but I ain't even going to know it. So I'm not holding back, man. That's the way it is. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying that's going to make you mad. Your physical life. You ought to eat right and exercise. You don't eat right and exercise, you're not relating to your physical body relative to the framework of that book right there. Because this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This ain't no donut palace deluxe like you think. Evidently, I mean. The donut barn, you know, right here, Lord. No, he said that you should treat the temple like you ought to. That you should exercise and eat. That you ought to have a framework for your physical being relative to the Word of God. That you should have a framework to your psychological psyche, second heaven being, relative to the Word of God. That you should only think what God told you to think. And if you think outside that framework, then it's going to be demonic. That spiritually you should only receive, because your spirit, you know, eats words, should only receive, and it eats them out of your own mouth, that you should only receive spiritually the truth in the Word that's got some goodness in it. Now let me say this to you. This, y'all going to give me 5 extra minutes, right? Okay, I don't know y'all very well, but we don't have none of them 12 o'clock types in here, do we? Now listen to you. This is a Word, W-O-R-D, planet. This is a Word planet. The Bible says that everything in this planet was created by the spoken, creative Word of God. Everything you see, it might have been rearranged and messed with and, you know, engineered by man, you know, and perverted a little bit. But everything in the world, the Bible says, was produced by the spoken, creative Word of God. Can I have an amen? I'm talking about everything. So that means this whole world, this is a Word planet, this is a Word church, that is a Word sun, that is Word wind out there, that is Word grass out there, those are Word cows out there. Can I have an amen? Those are Word dogs you got at your house. My wife just got 2 puppies. Driving me crazy, amen. Those are Word pets that you've got. And that everything will react to the Word of God, because everything is voice actuated by that Word. Now let me give you just a little secret. If you speak to something, you intend for it to move, it better hear Jesus in your voice. Because it was created by that voice, got a voice print. It was created by that voice, and it wasn't created by your voice. But if it can hear Jesus in your voice, the mountain moves, the fig tree dies, the wind stops, the fevers go. Not because they heard Mo, Brother Mo, as great as he is, and I love this guy. And not because they heard my voice, but because that thing heard Jesus coming through you. Heard Jesus speak to it, the same Jesus and Word, the spoken creative Word that created it and everything else. And it will obey it, brother. You better believe it will, because it will. It has to. This is a word planet, word galaxy, word everything in the physical, in the natural. All those galaxies and universes were made by the Word. The spoken creative Word of God, which means you didn't come from the goo and you didn't come from the zoo. Even though you wonder about some folks. I'm serious. You know I'm not. That ain't no joke. You know what I mean? Some of your relatives and my relatives. That we didn't come, that my great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy was Adam. And my great-great-great-grandmother was Eve. Amen. And that God created them. And He's created everything. And not that anyone was saved, He spoke the creative Word of God. It recreated my spirit. The spoken creative Word of God hit my spirit. Whole new universe right in here. Brand new creation never been before. Exploded because of the income of the spoken creative Word of God, excuse me, that creates. And it created, recreated me right in here when I heard it in 1980. Amen. I've been trying to rearrange my world to fit it ever since. He says now, through faith we understand, through the revelation that God will give you in your heart, we understand that the worlds were framed, everything has to have a frame, by the Word of God, so that things which are seen actually hang and are hinged upon something you don't see. This door frame over here with all the pretty trim and all of that, and even the one before is on the side, those are hinged to and nailed to a two before in there you don't see. That thing's hanging on something you don't see, brother. All the sheetrock's hanging on something you don't see. Your marriage is supposed to be hanging on something you don't see. Your kids should be hanging on something you don't see. Your health should be hanging on something you don't see. The spoken creative Word of God. Not on everything that you do see. So you got to go over there and get into that realm and start pushing the buttons by faith respectfully over there if you want to change something over here. I mean, we got to decide, you're going to be spiritual or not? Are we going to fall down into the natural? Live like unsaved people or not? I want you to look in Revelation 12. Look in Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And verse 11. I'm going to say a couple of things that will upend you just a little bit, but I'm doing it on purpose, okay? I'm going to lead you to a point where you're going to think something. I'm not going to tell you to think it, but you're going to think it because I'm going to take you there. I'll lead you right up there and you'll go ahead and jump ahead of me and you'll think it. But when you think it, I want you to hold on for just a minute, okay, and hear exactly all that we're going to say here and what the Word says. It says in verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, deliverance, and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, devil, which accused them before our God, the Bible said, day and night. And they overcame him, overrode him, rode over him. You can't annihilate him, but you can step on him. Can I have an amen? Can I have another amen? You can't annihilate him. You can't do away with the law of gravity, but if you understand the law of lift, you can fly anyway. Did you know that? If you operate properly relative to the laws of God, just like that plane that weighs tons is flying through the air, law of gravity is still there. It's flying anyway. I don't have to do away with the devil. I'm going to fly despite him. Because we're going to overcome him, the Bible said, with the spirit of the law of life or lift in Christ Jesus. But he goes on, he says right here, and they overcame him, talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. And a lot of people put a period there, but the blood of the Lamb, and I say all this respectfully, hang with me, the blood of the Lamb is not enough. The blood of the Lamb is not enough. God is not enough. He's not big enough. So wait a minute. Well, now you just wait a minute. I'm not finished. All of Calvary won't take you to heaven. Doesn't have enough to take you to heaven. And I say this totally respectfully in fear. Even the precious Holy Spirit can't help you. Unless you go on to the second part of that sentence. Did you know it? That's an A-N-D. That's an and. That means there's another car on this train. And so he goes on and he says this. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible said, and the word of their testimony. their confession, folks, their declaration, their profession, the bringing into agreement of their own heart and their own mouth with what the blood has done, with what Calvary has done, with what the Holy Ghost has done, with the power of God, that I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It won't help you one whit. I don't care how big God is, until you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and get in agreement with Him. Amen. Won't help you. You'll die and go to hell. You'll stay sick. Won't help you one bit. I was lost for 28 years, unsaved. And yet the Bible told me that before the foundation of the world, God had my salvation already done, because He never starts until He finishes. And so once He had finished that work, He had that thing done before I was even born, but I was 28 years old and lost. Dying, going to hell. I could tell you about it. Y'all would laugh, but I'm not going to make you laugh this morning. Because I was funny. It was funny. But not as funny as Michael. You talk about a what? This is good. Okay. I don't like to be documented on some things, but it says, you talk about a walking, talking joke. Skinny little dude, jumping around, just wiry, jumping around like he didn't have any sense, with blonde curly hair. Well, he got saved 4 years before I did. I don't remember how old he was. He's a little bit younger than me. But when I was 28, and I heard the spoken, creative Word of God, and I chambered it like a 30-06. You ever chamber a good 30-06? I chambered it in my heart like a 30-06, pulled the trigger with my tongue like to blew my brains out. Sense of humor, go into them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Wasn't that bad of a joke. That's also the truth. I got down on my knees, Mo, when I was 28 years old, lost and undone. And I said, I chambered that creative word. I said, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. I pulled the trigger with my tongue. And I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Brother, it changed everything up. Did you know it? Did you know it? It changed everything. One spoken creative word and me believing it. And then, listen, and then me getting my heart and mouth in agreement with it, it blew me out. It brought me out. I was, all of a sudden, the devil was my father, now God's my father. I was in the family of darkness, I'm in the family of light. I was going to hell, now I'm going to heaven. I chambered one spoken creative word, said it with my mouth, believed in it, and it brought me out. Say, well, yeah, I'm already saved. Well, I can't tell it. Hard to tell sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't know anybody. I love all y'all. Y'all need to try to love me. Yeah, I'm saved, Brother Don. I know all about the Roman road. Well, I know this. I know your tither's not saved. I knew it was going to get quiet. I knew that. I knew that already. I know your tither's not saved. How can somebody get saved and their tither not get saved? I know their temper's not saved. Because I saw them. I saw them show out. I mean, they pitched a conniption fit. You know what that is? I saw them. Somehow their temper didn't get saved, although, yes, I'm saved. I gave my life to the Lord in 19... I know the warrior's not saved. Can I have an amen? Y'all only got to put up with me one time today. You can do anything once. Come on. Just think of my wife, Cherry, who's been married to me all these years. I know their warrior's not saved, is it? No, evidently not. Evidently not. I know their mouth's not saved. But they say they're saved. Well, brother, let's just say that you are saved. I'm not going to say you are. But I'm not going to say you're not. So let's just say that you are metaphorically saved. then why don't you do the same thing, body of Christ, is what I'm saying this morning. Why don't you do the same thing that got your spirit recreated and get your tither recreated? Why don't you do the same thing that got your spirit born again when you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and He saved your soul? Why don't you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Malachi and what it says about tithing until you get a revelation from God, brother, and get your tither saved too? Why don't you go ahead and study all that it says? That, brother, it is humongous what that word says, that there is such a strong connection between your lips and your mouth and your life, and your lips and your mouth and death, and lips and mouth and long life. Over and over and over does that Bible say that. We ought to go ahead and make that connection right there and believe in our heart and confess with our mouth what the Word says about our words and about our mouth and about our worrying and about our tithing, and go ahead and get saved, get saved, get saved. Because it'll work. See, Romans 10:9 is not just for you to get saved, born again, Baptist style. It's for you to get delivered in every area of your body as you believe in your heart the spoken creative word of God and confess it out of your mouth. The revelation will come because your mouth feeds your own heart. The Bible says the man's heart is satisfied by the words of his own mouth, not somebody else's. You got a bellyache, watch what you're saying. You're making yourself sick. Jesus said a man is defiled by the words that come out of his mouth. That means he's not sharpened, he's dumbed down. You file something that gets sharper. You defile it, you dumb it down. Until finally, well, you know, Pastor, God don't talk to me about that tithing and worry. No, but He used to. Didn't He? He used to, didn't He? And now we've become so dumbed down, so defiled by the words that we speak, we just don't hear Him. But when you're conscious was new and saved, born again and pristine and sensitive like a spider web, you heard Him. When I first got saved, I've been saved maybe about 3 or 4 months. I walked into a room of my home there on Carroll Street. I had me a little house already, you know, somewhat industrious. Can I have an amen? And I walked in there and I was saved. I was. Like Michael, I got saved like Michael, and since that, and anybody who really, it just hits them like a train. I mean, boom, it just hit. And so I walked in there, and a cuss word came to my mind. I won't tell you what it is, but I'm sure you probably thought the same one. But it came to my mind, and the Holy Spirit said something to me. He caught me, and He said, I promise you, this is my witness to you. He said, you don't want to put that in your mouth. Brother Mo, he said, son, you're a child of God. You've been born again. I washed you. You're clean as snow. You don't want to put that old dirty thing in your mouth. I heard Him. I heard Him like I could hear. And you don't want to put that in your mouth. And I didn't say it. Well, I'm a Christian and I cuss. Yeah. I'm not even going to get into that with you. That's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you this. If you are a Christian, there was a time when the Holy Spirit spoke to you and said to you, just like He did me, you don't want to put that in your mouth. When you really did reference the Word with your speech, when you really did predicate everything you thought and said on the Word, sure, you made mistakes, but you got up real quick and you went on. And the Spirit of God kept trying to help you and help you and help you, because you had framed your life with the spoken, the Bible said, creative Word of God. He says, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, the Bible said, of their testimony, that they testified to the blood, confessed to it, came into agreement with it, and they loved not their lives, the Bible said, unto death. Amen. Meaning that God can ask you to give your life for the gospel. That's not sickness, brother. I don't have a problem with that. That's called afflictions for the gospel's sake. If God wants me to, if God says, I want you to preach the gospel, they're going to hate you and nail you to the water tower, I'm up for that. That's for me. You know what I'm saying? He can call me to do that if He wants to. He can call me to do that if that's being persecuted like Jesus and like the apostles and all of them. I want you to look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. This whole passage right here from 22 on down is talking about what we say. It's talking about our words and our mouth and lips. And it says in verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. You know who your closest neighbor is? Your husband or your wife. So you ought to love your neighbor, amen. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil with your mouth. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. That he may have to give, the Bible said, to him that needs. Now verse 29. Listen to this, y'all. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Listen to me. Zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. Let no, he said, no means no, negative, no, not one, negate, no, not one. Let no, not one corrupt word, he said, or communication proceed out of your mouth. Not even one. He said, but, and but will always reverse the sentence that comes before it. But actually means to block the utterance. It's going to block the utterance that just came. It's going to reverse it. So he reverses it and tells you what to do. He said, but that which is good, he said, talk like this, to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Ghost by what you say. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now verse 29, let no corrupt, look at that word with me for just a moment. Let no corrupt, C-O-R from the word core, R-U-P-T from the word rupture. Let no corrupt word corrupt at its core to the point of rupture. Let no word that has a rotten, stinking, infected, death-filled core that's about to rupture come out of your mouth. Can I have an amen? Because when you speak it, the word speak comes to the word spear and the word break. When you speak it, that dart, that spear, that corrupt arrow, that poison dart comes out of your mouth and it explodes and it breaks open and it defiles you and the person that hear it, you first. You go first. Whatever you say that's demonic to somebody hit you before it hit them. You can believe that. It was corrupt at the core. It was rotten at the core. The Bible says that. Let no word that is rotten at the core, he said, about to erupt, proceed out of your mouth. He said, not even one. It'll infect you. It'll infect the person that you're speaking to. Like buckshot. Now, when I was 18, I had appendicitis. And when I got to the doctor in Carthage, it was Dr. Johnson, and he took it out. Well, I woke up, and when I woke up, he said, It was hot. He said, had that thing ruptured on the inside of you, he said, it could have been a matter of life and death. It would have infected your whole body. We would have had to do all kinds of things and antibiotics to try to get you out of that. He said, if that thing that was, it was swelled up, it was rancid. I'm about to get gross here. It was rancid. It was putrid. It was full of death. Had that thing exploded, he said, it would have been a tremendous problem for your entire body. That's the kind of words these are. They're like a hot appendix that's ready to rupture. And if you speak them, they're going to explode. Amen. Now, I don't know how many of y'all know. I mean, I'm sure some of y'all do. You know, preachers are crazy, aren't they? They start to act like nobody knows anything with them. Anyway, y'all know what preserves are. And they used to have been a quart jar. I don't see that many of them anymore, but people sometimes will bring them to me. And we have pears. Somebody made me a pear pie the other day. Man, it was out of this world. Pear pie, you know, homemade vanilla bluebell ice cream. And I had some preserves, which is in the quart jars or pint, whatever that is, with a lid on it. And you know, when I was growing up and I was about this tall, Mama Murphy was my grandmother, and I'd go in there, and I remember having to look up at the counter and everything, but she would have pulled out the preserves. Peach preserves, apple preserves, all kind of preserves. See, what you need to do is find a grandmother and go to her house. You know, and then she would lay out. If I can remember correctly, I think it was a very clean cotton, cloth about this wide. Could have been wax paper, but I don't remember the wax paper. I remember the cloth. And man, she spread out all that dough. Y'all remember that? I mean, this much dough. I mean, real dough, not Bisquick. I don't mean you pop it on the counter and got you 12 little biscuits. You know, that Goodyear probably had something to do with. But I'm talking about real biscuits. And then she'd pop open. Y'all might remember this. She had a glass that used to be a Peter Pan peanut butter glass with a top on it that you bought it with peanut butter in it. See, they knew how to merchandise things in those days. And you pop off that lid and you eat the peanut butter and then you keep the glass. Pretty nice little glass. And then she would take that glass and turn it upside down and start cutting those big old biscuits. And by the time she got through, you had biscuits, light biscuits, I mean real biscuits, that layered up biscuits. And you had peach preserves. She had a pear tree in her front yard too, in Alabama. And you had pear preserves, and you'd have these biscuits with strawberries and butter. I'm telling you, y'all, it was better than Cracker Barrel. Better. But she would always tell us, she said, now if there's some preserves and the top is, you know, pooched out, I don't know a better word, it's coming out, she said, don't ever eat it. She said, it's gone bad. The peaches have gone bad. How did they go bad? How did these peaches become evil? And all of a sudden, she said, they're rotten in there. They're going bad. They're doing something. They're trying to get out. It's trying, whatever it is trying to get out. I said, oh, Lord, stay away from it. And that thing, you know, I don't know if it finally exploded, that thing, but it's trying to get out of there. And it says these words are exactly the same way. They are putrefied. They are rotten. They are full of death. That stuff's trying to get out of there. The devil waits around, y'all. The devil waits around to hear what you're going to say. He just wants you to say something that God wouldn't say. He's hanging around. I'm sorry. I'm spitting all over everybody. I'm glad. I'm going to just stay right here. This is my spit zone right here. He's sitting around in the trees. I think sometimes literally, his cohorts, sitting there just waiting for you to say something. For you to say what he would say. For you to say something God would not say. That one of his major jobs is just to get you to say something that's against God. That's full of this kind of stuff right here. That's going to minister some kind of junk to your child, to your mate, to your husband. How many times have we hit our wives in the face or hit our husbands in the face or spoke a word to that child? And I'm going to tell you, what do you think that word does when it gets in that kid's soul? What do you think that rancid, exploded appendix word does when it gets in the soul of that child and empties all that junk into that child's little old heart? Or your wife's heart, or your husband's heart, or wherever you injected this thing, or wherever you spoke this thing. That it begins to work in the soul. It's a corrupt thought first, and it's leaking in the soul to that person. Gotta be. So the devil sits around and waits for you to say something. Then when you say it, you sign for it with your tongue. Make a long story short. Then it's legal. God can't even stop it. Oh, yeah, no. Once he hears you say it, he can go to God and say, I have got Brother Don's word on it. I got his word on it. This is what the man said. This is what your preacher said. This is what the man of God said. I've got his word on it right here. He signed for this, and I am allowed to legally do whatever I want to do, and he absolutely does. And the only way for you to get out of that is say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for what I said. I said the wrong thing and begin to say the truth. Because the devil can legally do whatever you say he can do. Because you just gave him permission. Is that not so? I guarantee it's so. I guarantee it's so. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, not even one, he said. But that which is good, and if it's the Word, it's always going to be good. To the use of edifying, that it might minister. That word minister, the M comes from the word medicine. It means mend, M-E-N-D, mend. A person who mends. A minister, it means medicine in. And the only medicine we got to minister is the spoken, creative, the Word of God. So if you're a minister and you want to get some medicine in the soul of a person, you want to make an injection with a spiritual syringe, you are going to say whatever God said to them. You're a minister. You'll put medicine in them and it will mend them. That's the kind of ministers we are. We don't speak a corrupt, rotten word in them that will tear them down and destroy their soul, brother. But we're going to speak some medicine into them that will, what does the Bible say? That they're medicine to all your bones. Something like that, Mo. Health to all your flesh and medicine to all your bones, talking about this word. So that means you can minister wrong, you can minister right. Ministers, the Bible said, of the grace of God unto the hearers. That don't mean correction. I'm fixing to quit. When somebody gives you the truth, that is not the ministry of condemnation. When you're in sin and somebody gives you the truth, they're giving you a way out. That's not condemnation. Can I have an amen? Yeah, they're giving you a way out. That's not condemnation. If they said you'll never get out, you can't get out, you're impossible, that would be condemnation. But when you tell them the truth, you gave them the life, the truth, and the way, you gave them a way out. Brother, that's not condemnation. That's giving them a way out when you tell them what they need to do. When you tell them what they ought to do. Can I have an amen? Now I'm going to share real quick in Mark chapter 5 because I need to give you this. And I'm going to be out of here. Mark chapter 5. Verse 27. Mark chapter 5, verse 20. I'm going to start at 22 about Jairus. And I'll show you something that will help you. I prayed this morning and said, Lord, let me help those people today. Please just let me. I just want to, right now in my life, I just want to be used. I just want to be used. I said, Lord, if you'll show me a real need and let me be used, that's all I want. That's all I'm asking for. And so he goes on and he says, right, and behold, there comes one of the rulers, verse 22 of chapter 5, of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death, about to die, but she's not gone yet. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she shall be healed, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now he said that, and I'll prove to you he believed that. He believed that. Now, he's right here, and he's got a situation of a child that's going to die. But yet, he's believing and saying what God believes and says, and he's believing and saying what Jesus would believe and say. So, he's in total agreement with God. Can I have an amen? He's believing the truth. He's saying the truth. He's doing the Romans 10:9 dance. Everything's going the way it should. And Jesus even says, I'll come with you, because he's in agreement with Jesus. Jesus is in agreement, and here they go. In total agreement, in their heart and with their mouth, and they're walking this thing out, and he's got the spoken, creative, word, incarnate word with him, brother, going to his house. Everything is hunky-dory. Everything is going good. So he goes, and the Bible said in verse 24, and Jesus went with him, because he's in agreement with him. Then in verse 35, and while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Now listen in verse 6. And as soon as Jesus heard that word, we're talking about a time element right here. You could say, and immediately when he heard that word, because he's got everything going. He's got his heart and his mouth in agreement. He's believing. He's in agreement with God. Amen. But the Bible says that the thief comes immediately to steal the seed or the vision, the manifestation. So here comes the devil. That's why the word soon is in there. There is a time frame here. There is a time element here. If somebody speaks a word to you and you believe it and confess it, I mean, brother, there's a 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 countdown before that thing explodes. Now, when that word explodes, it will manifest light and resurrection power. The devil knows that he has got to get to that thing and get it out while it's ticking, before it goes off. That's why the devil comes immediately. That's why it's so immediate. That's why the you know, got to do it as quick as we can. Because he knows it will graft. And it's the engrafted word that's able to save your soul. It's the rooted word that's able to save you. It takes a little time to root. It takes a little time to graft. But when it does, my brother, it's all over with the crying for the devil if you just hang in there. So Jesus said, now, and as soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. One translation says this, as soon as he heard that word say it, he knew what was going on. As soon as he said, immediately he spoke to the man. Immediately. And one translation says, don't be afraid, just keep on believing. Which means that the man believed at the outset what he said and what he had. He believed that Jesus knew he believed it. They were all in agreement. And Jesus was telling him right then, don't let what was just said to you move you. Don't let what was just said to you change your mouth and the framework of your life. Don't let what was just said to you change the agreement that you're in with me. Stay in agreement with me. Keep your heart and your mouth, boy, right where it is. Stay in agreement with me. We're going to your house and we're going to raise that baby up just like you believed and just like you said. Now, if that couldn't have been changed, Jesus would not have said a word to him. If that wasn't possible that could have happened, Jesus wouldn't have ministered to him like that. Jesus knew he could lose it right there. That's why he said, be not afraid. And he said real quick, here comes the evil report. It don't take long to get discouraged. It doesn't take very long to get the breath kicked out of you. As you know it, it doesn't take very long. That's why Jesus said, be not afraid. Only believe. Don't get out of agreement with me. That translation, I think it's the Amplified, it's one of them. But it says, Jesus, now this is beautiful, Jesus hearing but ignoring what they said. See, he ignored that, didn't mean nothing to him. Ignore means no light. I-G, ignition, N-O, no, I-G, no light. He ignored it. He wouldn't give it any light. And he says to the man, stand there, hearing but ignoring what they said, he said, fear not, only keep on believing. Because he knew how quick it could go wrong. Oh, it couldn't go wrong. Yes, it could. That's why Jesus had to say that to him. That's why he had to say it to him real quick. He knew he's got to keep this guy in the saddle. If he can keep this guy in the saddle, we'll get this baby raised up. This guy bails out and gets bucked off. Man, we're going nowhere. Can I have an amen? That's exactly, I promise you that's the truth, as well as I'm a human being standing here this morning. Amen. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, soon, boom. He turned to him and said, be not afraid, only believe. Now, I'm going to give you this testimony, and I'm just about finished. I've got a guy in center, and I prayed to God. This has been my personal ministry. You show me somebody that's got a real need in your eyes, and let me go meet it. That's been my prayer for a few months now. This guy shows up. His wife runs into my wife in Brookshire's. She's hysterical. She's beside herself. She's kind of that type, but this would make anybody hysterical. She says he's got lung cancer. He's dying. Would y'all come pray? Please pray for him. I grew up with him. I knew him. I didn't particularly like him. But I knew him. And I tell you what, if I'd have been sick, he wouldn't have given me the time of day. One more preacher about to does. That's all he would have cared. He wouldn't have cared. So we go over to their house, and we sat down, and we pray with them. Other pastors have been praying with them too. We prayed with them. This guy has problems. He's got lung cancer. He's got about 6 months, maybe, if everything goes good. I'm not naming any names. IRS is trying to get everything he's got. He's made a lot of bad decisions. He has no money, no health, no nothing. He's lost. I mean, you know, he's just sitting in that house that's paid for, but he can't do anything because everybody's after everything, watching the banks and everything, and there he is, and he's 62, dying. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, is that enough of a need for you? I said, it is. I said, this is a need. The guy's lost and he's dying. Well, we prayed with him. Like I said, others have prayed with him too. And as I can say this, and I've seen a lot of dry runs too. But the guy, the Holy Spirit just started coming on the guy. He started going around town telling everybody about the Lord. He said, I just can't help it. I said, don't help it, brother. Go, just go with it. I know where you're at. And I mean, you know, he's witnessing all over town, Mo, telling everybody about Jesus and how good Jesus is. He said, I wish it had come better. I wish I'd have done this thing sooner in my life. He said, but I got to tell you that the Lord, how good the Lord is, and he's dying. But now he's at least saved. Can I have an amen? He's a dying saved man. But I don't want to save them and them die. I want to save them and them get well and declare the works of the Lord. That's what we're after. Can I have an amen? You like that? You need to be like that. Well, he's saved. You know, so he's got some of these other preachers. I'm not naming anybody. I try to be sweet, but it's hard for me. It's not hard for some people. It's hard for me. But they're trying to convince him that the Lord gave him cancer, and for this reason, that reason. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. So I'm trying to get the guy well in the midst of all of that. So he's at Longview right now and going through chemo, and his wife called me, and she said they're going to give him two rounds of chemo, and they're going to hit him hard. I don't like chemo. Never had it, but I don't like it. And they're going to hit him hard with two rounds and radiation today and tomorrow and da-da-da. And she told me that on the phone. I was standing out in the front yard. I walked in. I was good till then. I was good. Felt good. Thought. I walked in and I sat down and I backslid. I felt it. I felt myself free fall. I felt myself falling. I could feel. I was falling away from. I went and I sat down. This thought came to my mind. Well, he's going to die. You know, when they told me the thing about the chemo, this thought went through my mind. Well, he's going to die. It just went through my mind. Boom. And I just, it's like I was hold of a rope and somebody greased it. I let it go. And I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm backsliding, flying down the hill about 100 miles. I can't stop it. I'm going. And then, and this was all in about 5 seconds, y'all. You know, I put a lot of drama to it, amen? I'm not the drama queen, but I'm the drama king. I'm sorry. But anyway, is it about 5 seconds? And the Lord, I'm sitting there in that chair. I just backslid from my whole faith thing with this guy. I'm just gone. I'm gone. Bye. Like I jumped off a building. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, don't give up on him yet. And when you're as dumb as me, boy, for him to say something is just really nice. He said, don't give up on him yet. And when he said that, y'all, I stopped. My fall stopped. It was like I was back where I was. It was like I had a hold to the rope again. I'm good. You know, I'm feeling good again, you know. You know how you can feel like real courageous and all of a sudden like the biggest coward in the world just psh, real quick. I can. So I'm doing good. I'm backsliding. Now I'm doing good again. And he said, don't give up on him. And I just, man, it was like, okay, you know, I'm good. Got the rope. Everything's good. I got up off of the chair and that's where I am right now. So I'm telling you this for a reason. One evil report like that one that Jay Iris got could have knocked him loose and he could have went into a free fall and that baby would have died. If that could not have happened, Jesus would not have turned around and said that to him. He wouldn't have said anything. Amen. He knew he had to tell him, stay in agreement. Stay in faith. Keep doing what you're doing. We're going to your house. We're going to raise your baby up. Don't bail out on me. Don't flake out on me. Amen. Are y'all okay this morning? I'll try to get Michael to not let me come back for at least a year. But in a year, I'm coming, whether you like it or not, okay? I'm coming. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for your goodness and your grace. I lift up Brother Michael's congregation, your congregation, Lord, and I pray that every word that you brought them today, that every word, Lord, that you brought them out of the Word, I just pray that it's a word full of life, full of light. You know, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And that these words, Lord, will have been injected into their hearts, that they'll keep them. Don't let the devil take them, because he'll try to. Till they graft. Y'all let it root. Let it fruit, roots down, fruit up. Let it root. And so, Lord, we thank you for it and we praise you for it. We're going to give you all the glory for every good thing. In Jesus' precious name, amen.